Thank you, Lord. Please, let's bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Father, speak your word to me. Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear. Lord, I am here today. People, I realize it will be a waste of time if we come for a service and we do not hear God speak to us. Just pray, Lord, in any way and every way you can communicate with me in a way I can understand. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, speak to me. It's a very simple prayer, people. Ask and you shall receive. Father, it is the entrance of your words that give understanding. It brings understanding, it brings light, and gives understanding to the simple. Lord, there is absolutely nothing we know except what you reveal to us. And Father, I'm praying right now and asking in the name of Jesus, speak your word, send your word. In your word is life, and the life, the light of men. The light that lights everyone that comes into this world. I pray, Lord, even as your word is clear, there is a spirit in every one of us, but it is your breath, it is your inspiration that brings the understanding. I pray, breathe upon every one of us right now. Breathe upon our hearts, breathe upon our minds. But Lord, I pray, let our spirit come alive as you breathe and inspire, as you impart every heart like the heart of kings. Turn into a good ground and let your word come forth in simplicity and power. Let there be healing, let there be deliverance. Let, Lord, as I hear your spirit, I speak. Give me the simplest words to speak, to comprehend. The Lord, as these words flow to me, through me, to your people, let this word enter every heart that you have prepared to become a good ground. And let this word, like a seed, be planted on the heart. Let it take forth root, germinate, bring forth. And I pray, Holy Spirit, I rely on you as you hover and brood upon our hearts. As the words come, confirm every word with signs following. Teach us, guide us into all truth, and remind us so that when we leave this place, we will remember to do what we have heard. And we will bring forth fruit that will glorify our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Please look around you and tell somebody next to you that next Sunday, please tell them next Sunday, bring somebody to fill these seats. I'm telling you, the people out there, all they are waiting for is just a simple invitation. And I'm telling you this from experience. Just an invitation to experience, to taste what we are experiencing and tasting. Just an invitation. Somebody's saying, what if they don't come? You just invite and leave it to the Spirit of God. Amen. Today, as usual, like I said, I waited. I've learned this, and I want to be speaking practically. I try every time I have to stand up to speak, because I do not take people's lives for granted. I realize that, you know, as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, you only just need to say the wrong thing, and it will take people on the wrong direction. Every word we speak is either life or death. I don't want to kill people, So I try to wait to hear the author of life speak. And whatever I hear, and if I don't hear, I don't leave. I don't leave God's presence until I hear. And then I scribble. And then I just simply come to repeat what I'm hearing. But let me also tell you that at times, all I just hear is you just prepare your heart and I will fill it. Just empty, be open, listen. And I will speak to you. And as I speak, just repeat. And let me tell us something, because our theme this month is about seeing and becoming. See and you become. I'm telling you, whatever you are becoming now is what you have been seeing before now. And let me tell us also that I'm not talking about when we say what you're seeing. I mean, something physical. No, it goes beyond the physical. I'm talking about the way you see yourself. That what the Bible calls the hidden man of the heart. The way you have been seeing yourself is what you're becoming now. See, your present and current reality has to do with the way you have been seeing yourself. So we're talking about see and become. And I want to take us to Genesis chapter 1. But before we go to Genesis chapter 1, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 60. Because we need to explain some things to us. You see, once in a while, I know that once I hear, you know, in the prophetic, I can move in the prophetic. What do I mean? I just hear and I say some things that I know is beyond me. I know some things that I just hear and clearly addresses somebody's specific circumstances. How do I know these things? It's just listening out for the voice of God, for the Spirit of God. And, you know, I was driving in, we were driving into the church this morning, and I was sharing with my family in the car that, you see, the moment you get saved, and what do I mean by saved? What is known as the new birth. You get born again, like Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. What happens is that there's that part, the real you, what makes you and I a living being, which is our spirit. That is what comes alive when we receive the Lord Jesus, we confess our sins, we are forgiven, God gives us a new heart, and then He pours a new spirit within us. So we get born again. But actually what happens is that there's a part of us, which is our spirit, that's what comes alive. That moment we get born again. You see, as human beings, we are, you know, triune. What do I mean? Three parts. And I will explain. I'm taking my time to lay this foundation. If God permits, we'll see how it goes next week. I don't want to talk too much because I just realized, you know, we teach and teach and teach. If we don't do the little we've heard, you will hear more again and it will just be accumulating. So listen, we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. That's what makes up you. The real you, created in the image and likeness of God, is your spirit. Your spirit, my spirit. God Himself is spirit. That's why Jesus said that if you want to truly worship God, the real true worshipers of God, they worship God in spirit and in truth. Listen, see, people talk about, you know, worship, you know, when we're singing praise and worship, we think that that is the real true worship Jesus is talking about. Do you know at times this praise and worship we say we're doing is for ourselves? We're just enjoying it. You like a song. You're singing the song and you're enjoying it. I can see that some of us are enjoying that music. You like it. You're clapping. And I can just see some people who are singing. Either because maybe you don't know the song or you don't like the song. So we've equated worship of God to, yeah, they're singing the song I like. So who is enjoying? You. See, it's not different from a Michael Jackson concert. What we call worship at times. Oh yeah, I let Michael Jackson sing. Sorry, I'm old school, so I don't know the new school that our young people listen to now. But if he sings some particular songs, you know the way you will just jump. Because Michael Jackson, that song ministers to you. But when we're talking about worship, we are ministering to God, not to you. Oh, I enjoyed the praise and worship. Who told you it's for you? Can we have a paradigm shift and get our focus right? I'm talking about our spirit. Jesus said those who worship God, they worship him in spirit and in truth. And then he put a very important statement. He said the Father is what? Seeking for those, for such people. Which means that such people are not many. He's looking for more. Who will genuinely worship him, not because they like a song. They like the beat. Oh, you know, Franklin played it the way it sounded on the album. Spirit. We are spirit. We are soul. And we are body. Now, our spirit is the real likeness and image of God. For God is spirit. So if we can be spiritually aware, alive, conscious, and we are now more sensitive to the spirit of God, then we will enjoy this life. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. Those are the matured people. There is a spirit in man. It is the inspiration of the Almighty. That's Job chapter 22, verse 32-8. That gives them understanding. You start comprehending life better. So you see, but the problem is, we have spent so much time investing, developing our own human soul. And what do I mean? That's the part of you that enjoys, that feels good. Your intellect, the choices we make, the books, the things we are told. We spend so much time. We go to school. We acquire degrees, certificates. We are very sharp. I've met very, very intelligent people. But when it comes to real life issues and life affairs, they are defeated. They know everything. They've got all the degrees. But in life's matters, real life matters, they are failing. Failing. You know, somebody once said this. I actually heard the guy. He said he decided to do a research, an experiment. And he gathered his friends together. And this guy is a medical doctor. Just like Dr. Uche and Dr. BC there. And he said, well, I want to talk to you. He gave the topic. And then he brought out a cigarette. Medical doctor. Brought out a cigarette. And you know, on every cigarette packet, what's written on it? How did you know? Just ask somebody, are you, do you sniff? Like a pastor one day said, he wants to demonstrate. Can somebody just give me a cigarette? And somebody, and people were rushing out to give him a cigarette in a church service. Anyway, he said he brought the cigarette out. And they were, he said, what? What's the problem with you guys? Why are you looking at me? He said, do you realize that smoking does not kill? Do you realize that they put it there so that they can stop people, farmers who are harvesting tobacco? They want to kill the tobacco business. That is why they're telling you that smoking doesn't kill. And then he gave statistics and said, do you know that, what's it called now? It's obesity or something. Kills more people. Sorry? Diabetes. Oh, maybe you've seen something along that line too. Kills more people. Now, why is it that people don't shout when they see people eating chocolate and all the sugary stuff? Smoking doesn't kill. And he said he had an experiment and spoke to a group of his friends, all of them non-smokers. So by the time he finished, like three of them started smoking, who hadn't smoking before. And then he came back and told them, do you know what I said before? I just made it up. It's not true. But three of them heard it and started smoking. Because a doctor comes and tells them, smoking doesn't kill. People, faith comes by. So our souls, the things we have been hearing since we were born, are the things we have been seeing, and that's our current reality today. As a child, you grew up maybe in a lovely home, maybe in an abusive home, maybe in a home where mom and dad are always fighting, maybe in a home and they sent you to a school where the teachers told you are useless. You will never know this. You are this, you are that. The other children are better than you. You grew up hearing all these things. Listen, every word that's been spoken to you has shaped what you are seeing about yourself today. What you see around you right now is what you are becoming as a result of what you've been hearing, what you've been told as a child. So we send our children to school, we go to school, our souls, we focus on our souls, and our souls, anything they tell us, we believe. Some we doubt because some of us are a little bit cerebral. We can say, no, I don't have proof. Give me proof. And then we go into arguments. So, that's the soul. And some of us are very sharp in our soul than other people. Right? Please, I hope the people there are listening to. Please tell them. Tell them. I hope they are listening. Right? Because I'm hearing them here. I want them to listen to me. Right? So, what you have been hearing all your life is what you have become now. And I'm talking of how we see ourselves. It's as a result of the things we have been told growing up. Teachers, parents, siblings, brothers, uncles, and you have believed, whether unconsciously or subconsciously or consciously. So, in the soulish realm, we operate where we say seeing is believing. If I don't see it, I can't believe. But do you know that truly, in the spirit realm, that is true? Because what you see in the spirit, you have the potential of bringing into reality, to become your reality. So, where I'm going is that we are focused so much developing our souls, being told this, intellect, sharp, this, physiology, psychotherapy, cognitive behavior, behavioral, CBT, blah, 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 blah. That's your REM, isn't it? That's Julie's REM. All right? All these things, and we can prove them, they are true. But there's a higher realm God wants us to operate. You see, there's even a crazy one. The crazy one is some people have not developed their soul, their mental capacity, but they've developed their body. Have you seen people with six pack? I perceive that thou art six pack, sir. Thou art packet, six packetly. How you doing? Good to see you, man. Good to see you. Are we playing football to go here tomorrow? Don't tell me you're going today. Why? In the name of Jesus, don't go. Work! Some people, they are led by their bodies. So that's their focus, and they keep developing their bodies. Six-pack, until they see the right muscles, triceps, biceps, they don't feel good about themselves. Oh, I don't like my nose. And then the cerebral surgeons now can help you reshape it. Repackage it into the way you like it. In fact, anywhere. You know, the human soul is so much developed now that you can literally carve anything. See, if Dr. Uche here wants to look like Michael Jackson, by the time they finish with him, and several thousands of pounds after, he will look like Michael Jackson. Please, Dr. Uche, come. I want the people at home to see what I mean. Please come. Please come. Please come. Do you agree with me? True surgery. Can you see his skin? See his face? Let him go to the surgeons. By the time they repackage him, he will look like Michael Jackson. Two of us. I'm not saying you want to look like you are a medical doctor, right? It is possible in the world we live in now. That's the power of the human soul. Now, thank you, sir. Please clap for Dr. the only husband of Dr. PC. Now, listen. Some people, they focus on developing just their bodies. So what they see in the mirror, they don't like. But they see something else inside them they want to be, they will change what they see in the mirror by going under the surgeon's knife. They are led by their bodies. But you see, God did not create us. That's why some people are suffering from self-confidence, because they don't like what they look like. I've shared this story before. I grew up, and growing up, I get abused by the shape of my head, by the shape of my ears. Look at your ears like that of this. Look at the shape of your head. Look at your medulla oblongata. Blah, 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 blah. You get told all that, and then you grow up not liking your medulla oblongata. It affects your self-esteem because you are so conscious of your body. I mean, it was so bad. I would step into a room and I would believe everybody's looking at me. And if people are just talking, I would believe they are talking about my head. I would believe they are talking about my ears. I was so body conscious. Now, if I let that rule my life, I'm telling you, I will live a miserable life. If I let my soul control my life, do you see how human beings change their minds all the time? Oh, yeah, they've done research. Yeah, and when they did the research, they found out that this is the cure for this thing. And then they come back, oh, it was a mistake. Do you know, COVID just happened now. Some serious professors, researchers, I was watching them, they were apologizing that they misled the world about COVID. Oh, when they told you don't go out, don't do this, they shouldn't have done that. They were saying all that. But when they told you not to go out, did you go out? Uncle Charles, you'll be walking on the street. Somebody from 10 miles away sees you. The moment they see, they just go to the other side. And you two just quickly go like that. 2 meters distance. Where did we get all that? Faith comes by. It came from the soul. But there's a higher level God created us to operate on. And that is what I'm talking about, our spirit. so that you stop seeing your body, you stop seeing your soul and be controlled by what you see, but you start seeing God. And how do you see God? Through His Word. What changed for me? So I will be so conscious. People are looking at my ears. People are looking at my head. I can spot some of you looking at it now. That what's even wrong with his ears? Let me see. I used to get abused. I don't want to say it the way they used to say it there. I heard it so much. And I would be wondering, why can't my head be flat? Especially at the back here. Uncle Charles said it's too late. I was young then. I'll be wondering. I would look at some people say their head is flat at the back. Why do I have? Why is, this thing was used to be like used to go out, you know, before. One day after I got born again, my spirit man came alive. I was reading, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." I looked at it again. Wait a minute. I didn't make my ears. I didn't make my medulla oblongata. It is He who made it. So if you have problems with my ears and my medulla oblongata, it's not me. You've got problems with the one who made me. And guess what? He made me fearfully and wonderfully. And I found out I was one of a kind, unique. My medulla oblongata is creatively, originally designed the way it is. There's none like D, like me. I'm an original. Scientists have proven it. Nobody has my fingerprints. Excuse me. If you have original and you have photocopy, photostat, fax copy, and what's the other one, photoshopped, which one will you choose? You go for the original. I began to see myself as an original. And I said, why am I trying to change from an original into a copy? Set me free. But excuse me, I stopped seeing what they were telling my soul. I stopped seeing what my body really looked like, because honestly, my ears and that place, you know, I can make a joke now. You know, in those days, when we see, you know, I know Uncle Charles can handle this. When we see people with shaven head like this, do you know how we mock them? We just go, you go and be checking that this is a mirror. So imagine now, we start bullying him. Look at his head, mirror. So another man with a mirror is laughing there. Let all the people with mirror, come on, wave it in the air like you don't care. How many mirrors do we have here? One, two. You are getting closer. See the way we're laughing. We should have fun with these things. But then, it can turn negative if you let it control you. I stopped seeing the physical body. I stopped seeing what they told my soul. I saw the Word of God, and it changed what I saw, and I became a confident, I transformed from a shy, timid, young man into a confident man who was okay, comfortable in my own skin, and I just loved me for who I am. And I told myself, if you don't like me, leave me. I don't care. The one who made me, and I now realized, you know what set me very busy? That He loves me just as I am. Come on. The owner, the maker of the universe, the one who owns a cattle upon a thousand hills, the one who is to come, the one who can, one moment like that, restore years, locusts, palm womb, canker womb has eaten, loves me. And that's your problem with me? Come on. Do you know what? I went from being hurt by people talking about me, my head, my ears, and to start feeling sorry for people who talk about me. That, if only they knew the truth. Do you realize that people who bully other people, they are suffering from self-esteem? But the word of God comes to set us free, to change what we see about ourselves, that hidden man, so that we can become what he says about us. So when the Bible says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, do you know the context in which Paul was explaining that? He said a man who goes to the mirror and looks at himself, he sees his image, and then he leaves the mirror and goes and completely forgets what he saw in that mirror. He says, so is that person who hears the word of God that's meant to shape, change the picture, and let them see how God sees them, and forgets about what they look like. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Now put it, you are deceiving your own self. You are living in deception if you are being led by your body and by what you have been told all these years. All the lies. That's why the Bible calls the word of God truth. If you continue my words, you shall know the truth. And the truth of the word will set you, will make you free. I met somebody recently. I said, do you know, I'm living the best of my life right now. And of course, the person was looking at me. Did you just win a jackpot? Do you have so much money? The word of God says, straight from the mouth of Jesus, a man's life is not about the abundance of his possession. It's not about what you have or what you don't have. It is about whose you are and who you are. That, his word says, you are. All right, I haven't established that. I'm talking to us today, and I'm laying that foundation so that from today, please stop focusing on your body, what your body is telling you. Stop focusing on what people are telling you. Opinion. At the end of the day, everything is an opinion. Everything is an opinion. Somebody's opinion. And do you know people's opinion change? You're looking for people's approval. You will do anything to get their approval. I'd rather get God's approval, people. Because people come, people go. But God remains the same. And his word is the same. Consistent, constant. I'd rather listen. Listen out for that voice. And see what he's saying about me. See and become. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise. And shine. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And it says, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But let's read it together. Let's read it together. I'm careful these days. Because how many of us realize that at times you've been quoting a scripture, and then after many years you realize you have actually been quoting it wrongly? I realize that there's a difference in what I know and actually what is my reality. Some of us, for example, let me try and use an example. Yeah. How many of us know the Queen of England? I've forgotten her name now. Elizabeth. Okay, now let's talk about Boris Johnson. Okay, we're going to pray for this country, people. We're going to pray for our Jerusalem. How many of us know Boris Johnson? Okay. But do you know, Boris? Some of us probably have even read his biography and read all sorts of news about him. But do you know, in reality, you have not experienced Boris Johnson. So your knowledge is different from your reality. So some of us know the Bible, but we don't know the God of the Bible. Some of us know the Holy Spirit. We even sing songs. But it's not your reality. It's not become your reality. It was an eye-opening moment for me to realize that the fact that I know something does not mean that it's my reality. You can know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, but you may not know this. You've not experienced the shepherd in Psalm 23. So, we need to start seeing ourselves in the light of that scripture. It says, arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. It says, but the Lord, listen, shall do what? Please, is the scripture has been displayed. Because at times, why these things don't become a reality? Because you are just waiting for somebody to read it to you. You just hear it and yeah. And I will tell us one shocking thing today. Do you know one of the greatest hindrance to something becoming your reality is when you say, I know it. I've had it before. I know it. I want to tell you a story. I've had that story before. I tell people, you know, people tell me I repeat stories. Do you know the Bible? David killed Goliath. It's the same story. From 2,000 years ago, same story. 2,000 years to come, David killed Goliath. He took 5 stones from the stream, and then he threw it, and then he hit Goliath. Same story. But excuse me, different reality if you let that story become your story. So, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He said, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. And look at this. And his glory shall be seen upon you. Have you asked yourself, what does it mean for the glory of God to be seen upon me? Can you yourself see God's glory on you? These are some deep questions we should start asking ourselves. That is when it becomes our reality. We can quote it. Yeah, we are declaring daily. And I'm telling us until it becomes our reality. I arise today and I shine. The glory and the brilliance of the Lord upon me makes me to shine among nations. I create solutions. I solve problems. Let it become your reality. Do you know how it becomes a reality? Next time you see a problem, don't run away. Do not run away. You will see how that statement will start becoming your reality. Don't just say it, become it. Okay, I want to round up today. I don't want to talk too much. Holy Spirit, just help us today. What does the glory of the Lord look like to be upon me? To be upon you? Have you thought about that? Or you are just saying it? That word glory, it means his splendor, his brilliance, radiance, his honor. Those are the things we're declaring when we're doing the daily declaration. The glory, the brilliance, the honor, the splendor. Do you know what it looks like? Is your life reflecting the glory of God? If it is not, then that means I want that to become my reality. That's what I want to see, not what I'm seeing right now. And then I'm going to end with this. I had a very interesting discussion with Dr. Jojo from last week. So I'll explain a little bit today. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, I want to show us pictures as a roundup. Okay? I want to describe Genesis chapter 1 to us in pictures. So please, if you're ready with my slide, but let's see Genesis chapter 1. Okay, I can quote it from my head, but then do you see it? Until I began to see Genesis chapter 1 in my life, until I began to see Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2, 3, 4, 5, 31, and I began to relate it with my life, then I began to understand how indeed God, who created me like Him, has given me the ability to also recreate like Him. Let's take it slowly. What happened in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? Please, if you can display it, not the slide, but the scripture. It's there. Please, let's read together. God created. Okay, now let's go to verse 2. And we're stopping there. And let's read together, please. You remember, we want to see. We're not just reading now, we want to see. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And then look at this. The Spirit of God was hovering upon the earth, over the face of the waters. Because the earth then was just a mass of water. Excuse me. I thought, this is how I began to see, and I pray the Spirit of God open our eyes. I thought that the presence of the Spirit of God around that earth would not allow the earth to be formless, to be empty, and to be dark. Do you know, some of us, it's not like we don't believe in God. We know God, but we're not experiencing God. And our lives can actually be that verse too. Look at yourself now. I don't even know where I am. My life has no shape. I just feel empty. I've heard people say this. I'm in a dark place. I'm just in this hole. But do you know the Spirit of God is all around you, and nothing will change? God is there. The Spirit of God is there, but nothing will change. This is what frustrates a lot of people who have been serving God. Right from when I was little, they took me to church. I know how to pray. When they say fast, I fast. But my life is empty. I'm in a dark place. Shapeless. I don't know where I'm going. Get frustrated. So your life stops in verse 2 of Genesis 1. You know the Spirit of God. You sing. You know all the songs about the Holy Spirit. Listen. Today, I understood that is not singing that is worship. And I saw from the scriptures that the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my song and salvation. I don't sing songs anymore. When I'm singing, I become conscious of Him. That is what worship is. Not that I sang on F sharp and my soul enjoyed the melody. When I sing, am I conscious of His presence? As I sang Holy Spirit rain down, some of us are suddenly, who are spiritual, you are more conscious of the Spirit of God now. But then, it's not just to be conscious of the Spirit of God. Are you experiencing Him? The Lord is my song and my salvation. Home. Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Are you experiencing that? Or are you fearful? You fear your boss. You fear your wife. You fear your husband. It's not become an experience. So let's go back to that Genesis. So the Spirit of God was present, but there was still emptiness, formlessness, and darkness in spite of the presence of the Holy Spirit. What made the difference? How did the earth, from verse 2, that had no form, no shape, empty, and dark, how did it start experiencing the Spirit of God? I don't need to quote the next scripture, you know. How many of us know what's next? Please don't display it. So please, what's the next thing? Please say it now. And God said what? Let's go to KFC. What did God say? And then what happened? Where was light before? Where was light before? Please say it if you feel like you've caught something. It was inside God. Okay, so imagine you are God and you're on the earth. Please tell me physically what you are seeing on the earth. You are seeing darkness. You are seeing confusion. You are seeing formlessness, emptiness. You're on the earth and you are seeing it. Meanwhile, nothing is changing. So some of us are like that. We're on the earth and all we are seeing and talking about, Julie, is how formless the earth is. It's true. You got sack letter. It is true. They don't like you. Because maybe they don't like the way your nose is, or they hate your accent. They sack you. I remember my first job in this country. And it involved me, you know, picking the phone. I just noticed after a few weeks, they told me to stop picking the phone when the phone rings. Why are you not laughing? Now it's funny. Laugh. Thank you. Then later, my line manager was bold enough to tell me, people are complaining. That they don't understand what you are saying. And your accent. And some even think you sound rude. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know where you come from. Hello? Yes? May I help you, please? Even the tone of your voice. Why was I talking like that? That was the way I was brought up. A reality. So my line manager sat me down. Look, you're a nice person, I know. But this is how to do it. Sat me. Hello, this is Netherly Child Care Initiatives. May I help you? Are you speaking? And then I began to see myself talking like that. Faith comes by. She painted a picture to me of what I needed to do. And my inner reality changed. And then the next time, they allowed me to use the phone. Just rang. Don't let it ring more than 3 times. Hello. This is Netherly Child Care Initiatives. Are you speaking? May I help you, please? just ringing to find out about blah, 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 blah. And then I had to go and learn the Scouse accent. You know, that was another school on its own. What I'm just saying to us is that some of us, we are living in a present reality and we're not ready to change. We just want to talk about how dark it is, how empty it is, how they hate me, they don't like me. That's all you want to talk about. In this world, you will have tribulations. They will hate you because of your mirror. They will persecute you because you don't look like Michael Jackson enough. But do you want to change your reality? Look at the next thing. And God said, where was the light? So, God was standing on the earth and he was seeing everything you and I are seeing. Darkness, emptiness, and what was the third thing? Formlessness. But God, sir, changed the world into what he saw on the inside of him. The light was inside him. And if I keep talking about this darkness, it will remain dark. Do you know what one centurion told Jesus? Don't come to my house. I'm not even fit. Just speak the word only, and my servant, who is at home dying, will be healed. Some of us come to Jesus and all we'll talk, my servant is dying. What are you doing about it? He didn't eat. He has not eaten for 12 weeks. We took him to all the doctors. All of them, we've spent money. We keep talking and describing our current circumstances, but we don't change it into the reality we want. God created man in his image and in his likeness. So if God, you just need to understand how God operates and how God created you. I started changing my world. This same organization, they started begging me, promoting me, and begged me until I became the second in command, this next to the general manager. They begged me to come and manage the whole staff in the organization. But then, my inner reality had changed. God told me, this is what I want you to do. This is why I brought you to this country. Go and train to be a teacher. So I tendered my resignation, and they were all shocked. Why? I was seeing something else. You know, many times they wanted to make Jesus king, but because of what he knew he was on the inside. No, don't let man make you. If man makes you, man can mar you. But if the word of God makes you, nobody. If you and I are living in the reality of the Spirit of God, conscious of the Spirit of God, hearing the word of God, speaking the word of God, letting the word of God become a reality, you are invincible, unstoppable. And I'm not just talking. I am telling you what I've lived, what I'm practicing. And anytime I forget, I remind myself. I say, look, I have no ambition in this life. Listen to me. I walk by the vision of whatever God shows me all the time. I tell people, the most dangerous person to have in your organization is a staff that has no ambition. You know why? He's not seeking for your £5 an hour. So you can't threaten him. I will fire you. Say, go ahead. In fact, they will fire you. Oh, Lord. I've been in an organization before until suddenly we realized that there was a terror in the organization. One of the senior managers, We just said, look, we can't be here. If Jesus is here, will we allow this demon to be operating here? No. We cast the demon out. The demon came back. The woman embraced the demon. We said, okay, we'll cast both her and the demon out. In the name of Jesus, we went. Three of us agreed. In the name of Jesus, we transferred this woman out of this branch. I speak the truth in Christ Jesus. I lie not. Letter came from the head office. Transferred her. And you know what? The painful thing is they transferred her next door. Same organization, but another section that had office inside the same place we were. So she was seen now. She has no power. And then she had two other people who were operating with her. Once the chief principality was gone, they clipped the wings of the sub-principality and vice-principality. They simmered for a while. When they started manifesting, we remembered. We have the power. If two shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask. We didn't kill them. We just transferred them. Gave them a new job. With a new job description. We transferred them out of the branch. Was I the senior manager? No. Were the people I was? In fact, one of them was an electrician. But we were believers who were not living by what we saw, but changing what we are seeing into the reality of the Word of God that we wanted to become. Is this too deep? Please, let's stop. I'm not preaching again. Let's pray. What are you seeing when you... Somebody's asking. Are you going to continue to look at your situation? That's just where we're going. Or you are going to look at what the Word of God says about your situation and, like God, let it become your reality, what you are seeing, and then release it so you become it. Please, let's talk to God. I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit, I don't know. Holy Spirit, just help. Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move. Let me tell you where we start from so that our present circumstances will not become and continue to become our reality. It starts with repentance. Repentance now has to go and deal with everything you've been told, every lie you've been told, every insult, every description you've been given about yourself growing up. Oh, you can never amount to this. Oh, your father died of this. This runs in your family. Yes, the facts are there. Emptiness, darkness, void. But excuse me, that shouldn't be my reality. I don't want that anymore. So we repent first. Lord, I repent. That is what it means to repent. When you give your life to Jesus, you surrender your old life. Lord, I want a new life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. Save me. There was a beggar who was begging all his life by the roadside. He saw Jesus. He heard, just like you're hearing now. Jesus was passing by. He knew Jesus could change his life. He shouted, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. They told him, shut up. Some of you like that, you are allowing voices to silence you. You are allowing your mind, even your conscience, even your damaged self-esteem telling you that, no, this can't be. Some of us are so damaged like that, but drop that. Drop that. Just say, Lord, I just release my life to you. I surrender my life to you. Please come in, change me. Take this heart away. Take this low self-esteem. Take this self-limiting belief that I've lived with all my life. Take this away. I don't want it. This is not my reality. No, 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 no. Please cry to the Lord. I cannot pray for you. I'm not in your shoes. I am not in your experience. Please, you know where it pinches. You are the one wearing the shoe. I am just telling you, repent. It starts with repentance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, save me. Save me. Blind Bartimaeus shouted, Lord Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. They said, shut up. They said, shut up. Stop talking. Stop crying. Don't disturb him. He's going somewhere else. Listen, the Lord will stop. And he has stopped for you now. and he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He knew he was a beggar. Blind Bartimaeus could have asked for money, but he said, no. Change my sight. Come on. That's our prayer right now. Lord, change my sight. Change what I'm seeing about myself. What I'm seeing, I want to start seeing your word. What you are saying. What you have said. I want this emptiness to go. Void, go. Darkness, go. Let there be light. What is the light, people? It's the word. In him was life, and the life was the word, the light. Light, light, light. You are short of words, pray in the spirit. My life must change. Those of us stepping into a new reality, new experience, Lord, I am tired. Stop talking about it. You have described it long enough. We've been praying for the past over a week now. Lord, open my eyes to see what you are thinking about me. Lord, open my eyes to see what you are saying. And Lord, open my eyes to see what you are saying. Please, let's pray. What you are thinking, open my eyes, what you are saying, and what you are saying.